Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps, Cleveland's sports radio, 92.3 The Fan.
The diversion of the trade deadline. Come and gone. Over. Done. Finished. Now it's back to reality. And the reality is you're a 2-6 football team that didn't make any moves, and you're going up against a 1-7 football team that said to this year, but by golly, we build it up for next year. Welcome to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there, Andy Baskin. No big trades for the Browns at the deadline, but they did make moves leading up to the deadline, Andy.
Yeah, it was anticlimactic.
You traded Joe Flacco. You got Cam Robinson.
You brought in Tyson Campbell. It's not real, though. Like, you need trade deadline.
It's not real.
On trade deadline day, I mean, you get build up a little anxiety.
And you moved and you up a little bit 35 picks in the draft and gave up a guy who was a first-round pick who you didn't play.
Well, and the other part of this thing is that, hey, you know, maybe the Jets traded Sauce Gardner for us. You know, if the Browns happen to lose and then they get the advantage to have the first pick in the overall draft and these teams start losing, that trade may actually turn into the best thing that ever happened to the Browns.
Because why?
Because maybe the Browns are up in the air. They're not quite sure if they're between one or two quarterbacks. And now all of a sudden, the Browns have the first overall pick and the Jets have the second overall pick. And the next thing you know, the Jets are like, man, we got to get to that first overall pick because we think the Browns are going to take the guy that we want. So we're going to give them a first-round pick so we can switch. So now Sauce Gardner now actually became the Browns deal yesterday.
Boy, that's a lot of connecting dots there.
Yeah, it is. But you
what
know
if
what?
The Jets? What if the Jets just became bad enough on defense that the Browns' offense could look okay, and the Browns get the win, and then the Jets?
No! You're missing the point there. The Browns would have to lose on Sunday.
I know that, but yeah. The Jets have become a lesser football team.
I know.
Than they were when they were before the trade deadline, when they were still 1-7.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we have to become lesser of a team? Maybe the Jets, the guys that are on the team, will be so inspired by this whole thing. They're like, no way, we're going to play the best game we've ever played in our entire life, and we are going to beat the Browns on Sunday. This has the possibility and the potential to be one of the worst football games in NFL history on Sunday. Two teams.
That's cheery. You can hear it right here on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm just saying, two teams that the loser is the winner. It could actually work out that way. The loser of Sunday's game could be the big winner.
Well, you're fighting with Tennessee for that number one pick, too.
Yeah, they're not even in the game, man. It's just us and the Jets.
You know the Browns are favored.
Sorry, buddies. Well, they should be. They're at home. They didn't just trade off two major pieces. No.
No.
The game's in New York.
Yeah.
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 Wait, what did you just say?
The Browns are favored.
Oh, you're right. They're not at home. How are they? Well, it makes sense, though, that they're favored. Oh, that's a good thing. I almost went to the stadium. Thanks, man. Saved me a lot of parking. Although, I probably would have figured out, wow, this is the easiest parking I've ever had at the stadium.
You'd be like Henry Gibson in the Blues Brothers movie, showing up at Wrigley Field, and nobody's there.
That's right. I thought, well, Jake Elwood, where are you guys?
We'll get them.
No, but seriously, why wouldn't the Browns be the favorite on Sunday?
Well,
they just passed off two of their best players, most popular players, and said, "See ya." Now all of a sudden, you know, Jets fans could be pretty funny. Maybe the Jets fans will start rooting for the Browns. Well, I would if I was a Jets fan.
We'll see, and that's part of the point.
This could be a home game for the Browns. Like I said, it could be a home game for the Browns.
At this point here, and coming up in the show, we're going to have Kevin Stefanski's press conference at 10:55. Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback, usually speaks on Wednesday. This will be a Wednesday. Dylan's still the quarterback.
I think so.
We'll be hearing from Dylan. Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, will join us. Chris Rose is going to join us at 1 o'clock. All coming up here on the show. The Browns made some moves, Andy, leading up to it. This is now where they are. Okay, you didn't trade some of the guys who could be free agents at the end of the year. It takes two to make a trade. So, you know, did they try to trade Jerome Ford? Maybe. Maybe nobody made the offer they wanted for Jerome Ford. Did they try to move an offensive lineman? Who knows? I'm glad they didn't, because as bad as the offense has been, if you start moving offensive linemen, you're going to make it even worse and get somebody hurt. You didn't bring in a wide receiver. You didn't trade Denzel Ward. You didn't trade Myles Garrett, which is basically what the Jets did. We'll talk about that coming up here in a second. Are you okay that this team made a couple of little moves moving up to it? And I'll say little moves because they had benched Joe Flacco. They were going with Dylan already. They moved away from Joe. You brought in Cam Robinson. You did the old, hi, we'll take the player and a seventh and give you a sixth. You know, great. That's fabulous, isn't it? And then you did the same thing. You flipped it and traded Joe Tryon Choyenka. Are you okay that they didn't do much in a big way at the trade deadline? That okay, they're two and six, and this is what it is.
The biggest move they made at the trade deadline was saying that Kevin's not calling plays anymore, if you really think about it.
Well, I mean, trade deadline.
I know. They didn't do anything. No. I mean, that was the year they got rid of the guy with the hyphen name, Tryon Choyenka. That's what we'll remember somewhere down the road.
Well, he might actually play for the Bears, so yeah. good for him.
Yeah, I hope he does get to play. Yeah. I was completely underwhelmed, especially because, Adam Schefter, what happened? I thought they were making, I thought they were going to make a major move. I thought they were going to be buyers. What'd they buy? A six-round pick? They lost a player, lost a seventh-round pick, and got a six-round pick. That to me, that's a big buyer? I say don't get caught up in the hype, because I knew it yesterday when I walked in. I didn't think they were going to do anything, and they didn't do anything yesterday.
I was sure hoping.
Maybe they were willing to do something, but they couldn't find a trade partner.
Yeah,
that's always a possibility.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, and we'll never know the answer to that.
Why is Schefter spitting his mouth out, though, saying,
Adam Schefter. Just worry about our team.
My point is, though, that he drove a lot of the conversation last week, end of the week, early beginning this week, about, they're going to be buyers. What? Okay, the Browns are going to be buyers next year. I want everyone to go say, Andy Baskin said they're going to be buyers next year. Today, who cares? It's like a weather guy who gives you the wrong forecast. It's going to be widely scattered darkness tonight. Gee, that's brilliant, isn't it? Come on, man. We sit here and we listen to Jeff, we all know better, too. I got to tell you, when we listen to some of the national writers, we all know better. We do. We really do. And we get sucked up into the hype.
Well, Andy, let's not get carried away here. It's pretty simple. You're either going to be buyers, sellers, or not do anything. or maybe be a buyer and a seller.
When a national voice like Schefter goes out there and says they're going to be buyers, you kind of like, now you've piqued my interest on the trade deadline.
Maybe they were going to be and they couldn't get what they wanted. As it turns out.
We'll find that out at Barry's press conference then, right? Oh, wait, what press conference?
Well, you're on a roll. What's it? What do you? You
got? I'm just drinking coffee.
You got espresso in there?
No, I'm just being honest. Oh, like we said,
Andy Baskin, he's all cranked up this morning.
I'm not cranked up.
I need some more espresso.
I'm just telling you, Jeff, that we sit here and we let a lot of these national reports drive our local conversation when we all know better.
Okay. I was hoping that they were going to be buyers.
I was too. Maybe that's why I'm mad, because I was hoping that he was right. I would have loved a wide receiver yesterday, wouldn't you have?
The right wide receiver? Yeah.
You mean the one that knows how to catch footballs? That'd be the right wide receiver at this point.
You know who I thought made some really interesting moves yesterday? The team the Browns play coming up on Sunday. the New York Jets.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And a couple of reasons for that. They pulled the plug on the season. Oddly enough, they didn't trade Breece Hall, their running back, who's a free agent at the end of the year. And Breece had said that he wanted to be traded, then he wanted to be in New York, wanted to stay in New York, and then tweeted something out yesterday, put something out on social media that, you know, made people think, well, now he wants to be traded because the, you know, they traded their two best defensive players. They ended up not trading him. So maybe they try and keep him around. But I thought one thing the Jets did yesterday that was really cool. All right, you traded Sauce. I was stunned. They were stunned. Everybody seemed stunned by that. But their general manager said, yeah, we had some talks, but the price from that the Colts were willing to pay just kept going up. And then the Dallas Cowboys, you know, picked up Williams, their defensive tackle, three-time Pro Bowler, for a first and a second. Second and 26 and a third and 20, or a first round pick in 2027. The thing I liked about it from the Jets standpoint, forget the picks. And this is just a little part of it. They got an interesting young wide receiver in the deal, young player from the Colts, Adonai Mitchell, who had fallen out of favor there and was buried on the depth chart. And they also got a defensive tackle out of Dallas. Young player, former first-round pick from Michigan, from Dallas. Now,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
When you pick up, to me it was this. Wow, getting the first round picks and the second round pick, those were big trades. And that's a great return on those guys. But they got a young player thrown in as well. And it goes back to what Daryl's talked about. I've talked about it. You've talked about it. Don't you want players?
Yes.
Yeah. So they along with picks, they got intriguing young guys thrown in. And I just thought the Jets did a great job, except they're selling to their fan base, well, we're done. We're done this year. And we're rebuilding. But they have the ammo to rebuild with. And I think that's a real interesting part of this.
Wouldn't you? Every time, you know, we sit here and we drool over first-round draft picks. Everybody does.
Yeah, but you got to hit them.
You do. Know? And yeah. So, like, why? I would much rather have a player
I would too.
You can, you know, you can decrease the odds of having a failure when you decide to trade for a player. Because you know what they look like in the NFL.
And
you
see,
know,
here's the thing.
And somebody might have an opportunity that you know is going up against players every day in practice in the NFL. This isn't college anymore. It's not. You're not digging on potential anymore. You're digging on reality.
The point here on this thing, too, with the, especially, say, the Sauce Gardner trade, it's going to be a low pick. Right? The Jets or the Colts are playing pretty well this year. Mm-hmm. That pick's going to be low. You're going to get guys there as good as Sauce Gardner? I'd be hard pressed to think you do, but
yeah,
good luck to you.
If you made the trade because you just wanted that first round pick,
you got two of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you only get one next year, right?
You're not one next two. Year, one so, the year after.
So, but you'll have yours just like the Browns, the same position the Browns are in, right? They have two first round picks, so they have a value added first round if they want to go out and get the quarterback that they want. That's all there is. Yep. They're in the same position the Browns are.
Here, the Browns sit after the trade deadline, and they didn't pick up any draft pick of significance. They moved up, you know, 30 to 60 spots late in the draft. So what they picked up was a little bit of draft capital for a guy that wasn't playing for them, Joe Tryon Shoyenka. So, okay. Instead, the New York Jets, Andy, with a record of 1-7, think, well, we're done this year. Mm-hmm. But traded two guys who were part of things there. You know, Sauce Gardner has a contract. He could have stuck around. They could have kept him. But they pulled the plug and picked up two first and a wide receiver who might actually contribute for them. And then they get rid of Quinnen Williams to Dallas, get a second in this coming draft, and a first, and a young defensive tackle that they can plug right in. Who would you rather be today, Browns fans? Would you rather be the Browns standing pat, or would you have rather, let's just say, traded Denzel Ward?
No.
Picked up a first, because you got two number ones for Sauce. You probably would have been able to get at least one for Denzel, a couple of picks. Would you have traded Myles Garrett, picked up a couple of number ones? I mean, that's basically what the Jets did. They traded their version of Myles Garrett and their version of Denzel Ward.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, the Jets are naturally on a course for that. Did they have other options to maybe pick up another first-round draft pick, and could they have done that after this? First of all, their fan base is probably not happy at all. I mean, they're probably not happy because they only have one win. I understand what they did for their future because, I mean, we kicked it around here.
They have five number ones in the next two drafts.
And we have, what, three number ones?
We have three.
Okay. But who knows?
Each team has two number ones in this upcoming draft. But the Jets have tons of ammo now. And they clearly need a quarterback. Justin Fields is playing quarterback for them.
Right.
You know, he's there. If they decide that there's a guy that they want at quarterback, they have more than enough draft capital to go up and get him, unless the team that they would have to trade with also needs quarterback.
I'm okay. I didn't want the Browns to trade Myles Garrett, even though if somebody would have knocked on the door and said three first-round picks, I probably would have done it. It's easy for me to say that because, again, you're looking at cap implications and you got other things that, like, common man like us don't really think about. We don't really want to talk about. And just, we're like, okay, fix the math on this, right? Isn't that what we're saying? Just fix the math. And so I'm sure there's more to it than just if you were trying to. But, you know, if you were looking at three first round picks for that, and are you saying with Denzel, if somebody would have offered you a fourth first round pick, then you'd be sitting on six. Seven, I mean, you'd be sitting on a ton of first-round picks. You could rebuild your team in 2 years.
Who would you rather be today?
I think I'd rather be the Browns just because I think the Browns' defense, you don't have to fix that side of the ball. You have to fix the offense. And you're going to have the opportunity with two first-round picks next year.
And a lot of additional picks that you could slide up to the third or fourth four. If you like somebody there.
Yeah, I kind of like where the Browns are. Now, I asked me on Monday. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see who wins or loses. They brought this up on the morning show, too, about Indianapolis' side of that trade. Do you believe that Daniel Jones is their franchise quarterback?
Might be. They have Anthony Richardson sitting there, but if you're them, how do you walk away from Daniel Jones right now? And see, that I would rather be the Browns today because I ain't got to be honest. I think their defense is pretty good. I'm not going to say it's great. When you can start really impacting wins and losses more than they've done so far, I think that can be a great defense. They've still only won two games. So if the defense was great, I'm still thinking even with the offense, they'd have won a few more games.
Mm-hmm.
But I want Miles to be here for the rest of his career. He signed to be here for the rest of his career, or close to it. He's under contract. Denzel, under contract. Really good at what he does. I don't think you necessarily get better, Andy. In fact, I don't, by trading top-notch talent. But the Jets were in a spot and in a market where it wasn't working. And maybe it was time to pull the plug. Remember, they have a first-year GM, too. So he's not attached to those guys. Matt's in Brimfield, home of those Field Falcons. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, well, Matt, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks. You know, I was thinking as we come to essentially the midpoint, and we all took a little break. I keep coming back to, like, we look at not just our rookie quarterbacks, but a rookie quarterback next year, and I just do not want to drop them into this offense. And not just the offensive play call. I do not want to drop them into this offensive line and these receivers and expect them to do well and expect – and. Considering how the fan base and the media, local and national media, is treating the rookie, like their rookie quarterback right now, it's like nobody's ever seen a rookie quarterback struggle before. Just go to Tennessee if you literally want to see it.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with a first-round one? And I'm like, I do not want – I mean, I'm all for the first pick one of the Utah tackles, the second pick, the other Utah tackle, and then the best wide receiver. They have to improve the talent if they want to get the best out of any rookie quarterback, unless that guy's transcendent. And if he's transcendent, I don't know he's still going to do well, because you got a 50-50 chance that you're wrong in the first round anyway on a quarterback. And the other thing I look at is we were told how bad Tyler Huntley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is what did Tyler Huntley do when he had to start? He went out there and efficiently won the game for Baltimore when Jackson was out. So I'm like, you have to build up everything else. I've listened to the fanboys and fangirls in the national media on your station wax poetically about Sanders, and I keep coming back to, do we know if he can even call a play, that it's taken him this long to catch up? And you're going to base, you know, hopes on that? And now I get to my daily
or on Dylan Gabriel, Matt.
But my point is, they had no problem sacrificing Dylan Gabriel to this offense and Flacco. Those guys, Flacco and Gabriel, took the bullets for those first six games, for going overseas for a game, and to go to Pittsburgh. So the schedule gets easier now, and they may, I don't know if I give Gabriel two games, but then I get to, I would seriously consider Bailey Zappe. Now just hear me out for 1 second on this.
Matt, wrap it up quick.
Okay. So everybody goes back to college. Well, Zappe holds the record for most touchdown passes at Western Kentucky, 62 in a season.
Oh, he was nuts there. Matt, thank you for the phone call. We're not going to do a campaign for Bailey Zappe. I get it. If Bailey had to play, he's competent.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a competent quarterback in the NFL. Competent is different than good. So you never know, though. But, yes, he was very good in college.
Yeah, I don't sit here and argue about that. I don't think anybody wants to do that. And there probably is going to be a chance where Bailey Zappi's going to be starting some games this year. The other thing that no one wants to stop.
Well, maybe, especially if Shador Sanders' back is.
That's the point. Yeah. Like, I don't think. How bad is his back?
I don't know. You might.
Maybe someone will ask Kevin again today about it.
You truly might not get a look at Shador Sanders this year. Even if.
I do think they want to see what he looks like
at
some point.
Maybe.
You know what? It may not be Kevin that wants to see it. Kevin is was kind of terse earlier in the week, I think is the right word to use.
Kevin hasn't had much to say about Shador.
No. But I don't think
it's not my focus right now.
But Kevin would probably say that about anybody else, too.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Kevin doesn't like to go over the top about people, and he'll never cut one of his players. So, I mean, cut as in verbally.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't, that's not who he is. And I think that's one of the reasons players do like him.
Gerald is in West Virginia. What part of the fine state of West Virginia there, Gerald?
I'm down by Wheeling. I work in West Virginia, so I travel all over it.
Very nice. Wheeling's a fine town.
Yeah. So I got a couple points here. I wouldn't have minded either way, whether they trade some of their assets for picks or keep them. Like I said, you're losing a lot of games either way. You know, Myles Garrett's a terrific player. I mean, Denzel Ward is a terrific player, and I think Denzel Ward is better than Sauce Gardner. I'm not really sure how other teams view it, but I think Denzel Ward is as good as it gets as a corner. And I think now that the deadline has passed, I almost kind of see what I think Andrew Berry might be wanting to do. And don't hate me for this, but I do think I just have a feeling that there's a very strong possibility they could turn to Deshaun Watson at the beginning of next year, just a veteran presence, but use the draft picks that they have now to maybe just go out and build the team as a whole. They I think there's a chance they might not focus at quarterback on this next draft. They might worry about building their trenches, taking care of that offense, and then putting Deshaun out there just to roll into the dice and see what you get. But I just
and Gerald, I don't think, with both sure. Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders on the roster now, if they're both on next year, what you just said, I don't think is outside of the realm of possibility. I really don't. I was just sitting here thinking this whole quarterback thing could have a completely different twist next year, or it could be the three of the four guys who are on the team right now, and that includes Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I and it almost seems like it'd be – it just kind of seems unlikely to see Shedeur for quite a while. And then if they do activate Deshaun this year, I don't know. But I like I said, I could totally see Deshaun Watson coming out next year, week one. Thank you.
All right, Gerald. Andy, you and I have said that all along. He's here.
I'm just looking at his numbers for next year.
You're paying him.
His base for next year is $46 million. The prorated
which
signing,
is no longer, by the way, outrageous for a quarterback.
No, I'm just
except it's outrageous for a quarterback who hasn't produced.
Just looking at those numbers that they owe him for next year. So the cap hit next year is what, $80 million, and dead cap hit is $131 million. It's not as bad as it's been in the past, though.
And that's the last year of the deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the deal could run, though, through 29. I mean, if you wanted it to. It's void. It's voided for 28 and 29. He's unrestricted in 27. So, yeah. Wow. It's a lot of money to not play, isn't it, Jeff?
Yes, Andy. It certainly is.
Mm.
Fam is in Cleveland. Is that right, Fam?
Yeah. Hey guys. How's it going?
Well, good. Is Fam short for something? What is?
No, it's just Sam.
Oh, Sam. Okay. We thought it was
Corrali's a young guy with bad hearing, apparently. Sorry,
I thought
Sam.
It was like some kind of cool nickname. You're like, oh, this guy's a real family man or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get to the quarterbacks, but real quick, I'll just say what the Jets did yesterday.
Yeah.
I would say, honestly, watch out for them because maybe their GM is actually smart. And the reason I'm saying he's smart is because defense is not going to win in the AFC. You have to go through Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar. And what happens in every playoff, especially the AFC championship, it's a shootout, right? You're not going to win. Like, defense doesn't matter, though. You have to have an offense that can score 40 points to even get to the Super Bowl in the AFC. So I totally understand that. The Browns, in my opinion, they should have, you know, did exactly what the Jets did because they don't have any type of offense at all. A great defense, 2-6, whoop-de-doo. Okay, now to my real point. So with Shedeur and Dylan.
Whoop-de-doo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to my real point with Shedeur and Dylan. So Shedeur, I think Mary Kay has kind of laid it out why he's not playing. And yesterday when she mentioned in her last sentence, the Browns need to be able to trust him. And then she's also mentioned his accuracy is his, you know, superpower. And it's not just accuracy, it's the ball placement. But she mentioned it before as well. It's getting to that point. And so the Browns clearly are saying he's not able to read the defense and know where to go with the ball. Now, what makes Shedeur so good, and especially Travis in college, Travis Hunter, he has the best ball skills I've ever seen in my life. And so Shedeur, you know, he can lock on
Travis
to one
Hunter
receiver.
Does. And if you watch, and Sam, sounds like you have, if you watch tape of Shedeur last year with Travis Hunter, there were so many balls where he just threw the ball up and Travis went and got it. Just what you're talking about.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I'm trying to get at here. So Shedeur, if the Browns just had a receiver like Travis that had those ball skills, Shedeur could lock onto them and use his elite accuracy, right? And he's going to get chunks of yards down the field. But the Browns don't have that. So you have to go through this timing offense, which does fit Dylan more. But there's also not going to be any explosive plays. So in order to play Shedeur, I feel like you have to have that receiver that can be elite with those ball skills. And then Shedeur could have 4 touchdowns every game. You know, just, yeah. That's what I got to say. So
all right, Sam. And we don't have that receiver. Not right now. Maybe not ever.
Yeah. I'm just kind of spinning my head on the whole thing because I don't know what to expect because we haven't seen him play yet. So we saw a couple preseason games, but those don't mean anything.
It's going to be on display. Would you rather be the Jets or the Browns? Jets are the opponent on Sunday. Browns are favored. Browns are 2-6, and they're favored. Think about that. They're 2-6. They can't score, and they're favored. That's where the Jets are, folks. But boy, it's an intriguing situation where they might be sitting with all those picks coming up. Blanche is in Cleveland. Hello, Blanche.
Hi, Blanche.
Hey, guys. I agree. I think the defense is fine, and I'm glad we didn't trade anybody away. But this is a little armchair theory. It kind of goes with what you guys have been saying, and elements of that. What happens if they know that they don't have any weapons on offense? The line is either hurt or can't do the job. They got to redo that. They've got no receivers, like Jeff says, who can catch on a regular basis. So maybe they're just holding Shador back and using Dylan, like you guys said, he's going to be a competent backup. So use him kind of, unfortunately, as a sacrificial lamb this season till they get all those other elements in. And then maybe they have more confidence in Shador than we know, and they're just kind of keeping him polished off to the side and not going to waste him on the game that they can't protect or give him something to do. Like I said, armchair theory.
But not a bad one, Blanche. You know that, and see, you know what this is kind of reminding me of, and thank you for the call. Colt McCoy, Cody Kessler, DeShone Kizer. You're throwing a guy in, he's playing for a year, and then, you know, you're going to move on. You know?
That's fair. Yeah, I agree with that.
The minute they made the trade, it screamed quarterback next year. That doesn't have to be the case.
But why? Why did it have to? Like you had said, Jeff, imagine if, you know, we were sitting here.
It doesn't
here,
have to be.
I mean, let's just say.
You're still going to need somebody next year.
And I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
And this is going to make you feel good.
Oh, good.
Let's say Kenny Pickett was Daniel Jones. Well, we never got to find out.
Thank you.
And now Indy's in a spot now.
My complete point about Kenny Pickett.
I know.
You just summed it up. That's my complete point.
It's hard for me to agree with you on stuff like that, but I agree with you. You made a big deal about Pickett. I wasn't against it. I just wasn't willing to stand on a soapbox and scream to everybody, Kenny Pickett, this could be the answer, right? And I'm sure there was somebody in Indianapolis going, Daniel Jones, this could be the answer. I mean, they feel so good about Daniel Jones right now, they're throwing away first-round picks.
Andy, they started, and I know Anthony Richardson has had injury issues, but they started Daniel Jones over the guy that they drafted to be their franchise quarterback. We didn't have anybody, and they had Pickett and never put him on the field and traded him away. I'll never understand why they traded him away before they actually put him on the field. Mm. Regardless, he's not here. So
I wonder how Riley Leonard's over there, too.
Doesn't matter anymore. No, yes, he is. Isaiah's in East Cleveland. Welcome to the show.
No, I wonder what he's going to look like a couple years
ago. How y'all doing?
We're all right, Isaiah.
Question before I give you my comments, how come when a fan calls in and give them their comments, you guys are going to cut them off, and he's just speaking his comments like, you know,
Isaiah,
you guys speak
Isaiah, yours. Man, I don't know what show you're listening to. Jeff and I are the nicest guys on the air. We hardly cut anybody off.
Here's my comment.
I get yelled at for not cutting people off. I let people go too long.
Okay, here's my comments. How can you educate me?
Gonna catch up.
Because in my opinion, Gilbert isn't going to be a good backup quarterback. Now, how can you judge somebody for what Gabriel? How can you judge somebody for what you haven't even seen yet? In other words, in Shador Sanders.
What have we judged? Isaiah, take a breath.
You're listening to the wrong show.
Yeah,
Isaiah.
I don't know what show you're listening to. We both have said. We want to see Sanders play.
And we hope he's great.
Yeah, okay, what are you missing there?
Okay, let me tell you. Now, Jeff, he always, you know, says something good about, the quarterback now.
Gabriel.
But when Shador mentions Jeff, he going to backslash and say something like, no. And Jeff also said this. You asked a question. All the professionals said Shador is either first or second string quarterback. I mean, first or second in the draft.
Not the guys who matter. The guys who make picks didn't think that.
Well, that's the problem.
But why is that? Why?
You tell me.
We don't know why. He was predicted to be a first or second round.
By media people who don't pick players for a living. Now, Isaiah, this is what. See, you're approaching cutoff stage now, Isaiah.
Isaiah, you can ask the question. Ask the question, get it, let us answer, and then you can ask another question.
Yeah.
And don't.
All right, go ahead.
That's the way it works. It's a conversation.
Yes. So, but the point is, it's like You said it, all the extra. I thought he was going to go early, too. I mean, we said it for months. We're
it
like,
was stunning that
is he
going
to go first or second pick?
It was stunning he didn't Isaiah, go in the second on, round anyway.
Yeah, we're on Team okay, Isaiah right there. But the problem is the people that actually turned the card in didn't agree with any of us talking heads.
All right, Isaiah, thank you very much. Kevin Stefanski's press conference is coming up at 10:55. You're going to hear it right here. Here's the deal with Shador, folks, okay, and Gabriel. If teams thought that they were going to be franchise quarterbacks, they would have taken them earlier. I mean, you can make the argument all you want. That's just a fact, okay? Doesn't mean they can't become that. I don't understand why people are having such a difficult time grasping that. If the guys who do this for a living thought that those two guys would be big-time franchise quarterbacks, they would have gone in the first round. At the very least, in the second round. Neither one of them did. That means you're keeping your fingers crossed. And Andy, as I mentioned last segment, Dylan Gabriel right now to me feels like Colt McCoy or Cody Kessler or DeShone Kizer. You're taking a shot. You're going to see if it works. And certainly it's the same thing with Shador. Maybe it works. That would be great. It would be great if either one of these guys turns into a quarterback who could be your starter for the next 3 to 5 years.
We're blue in the face on this. I mean, we've said it time and time again.
I'm tired of hearing us say it.
The phone calls I can't stand, Jeff, are the ones that want to make a point. If you want to make a point, make your point.
They call and yell at us because we say Shador stinks. We've never said that.
Never. Not once.
We don't know. We don't know if he stinks.
It wasn't our job to turn in a card. We were both shocked after the draft that he didn't go earlier. We all thought, oh, well, this can't be weird. And then all of a sudden, the people that told you that he was going to be drafted early on in the draft are the same people that told you that he interviewed horribly, right? They're the same people.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't understand.
But if they had thought that he was a beast on the football field, they still would have drafted
him. They wouldn't have cared.
Exactly.
I mean...
And here's the other thing. I'm glad they took him. You might get a value out of the fifth round. How often do teams get a real value out of the fifth round? Not very. I'm glad they took him. And if they think he's ready and he's healthy, maybe he'll play at some point.
There's only one reason why I wish they wouldn't have taken him. Because they took Gabriel. If they would have just taken Sanders or taken Gabriel, we'd be fine.
Well, it makes it a much more clear situation.
It's confusing the fact that they did the whole thing. Like, I'm still going to wonder forever, why did they think it was a good idea, whether it was Sanders or anybody else, why did they draft another quarterback? Now, if you really believed in Gabriel and you wanted him to be your quarterback, I guess you want to see if he can survive the pressure? Okay, survive the pressure. But now you've got your entire fan base going, why isn't this guy playing? Why isn't that guy playing? When you know as well as I do, and I've said this 1,000 times, the most popular guy in town is the backup quarterback who's not playing, not named Zappy.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up momentarily. Cleveland's in Cleveland. Cleveland.
What's up?
Welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to take up for Jeff right quick because I don't think people understand that Jeff can't be dishonest and he can't tell you a lie. So he's going to tell you the truth and let you know what's going on. And that's it, guys. Quit calling him and harassing him because he's telling the truth. And I'll just listen.
He's got thick skin, man.
Thank you.
I've spent 15 years in 15, 16. How many years have we been doing this?
Too many.
Well, no, 14 on the radio. And what do we have? We're close to
3 on television.
3 on TV, 14. 17 mm-hmm. years. Is that what we got?
17 years.
Wow.
Of you.
Second longest thing you've done in your life, isn't it?
Looking at each other.
Is that right? Second longest thing you've done in your life.
I've been married to my wife longer than I've been married to you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.